The Bears fall to the Commanders and are now 4-3 on the season. Keep it here as the Score team dissects the loss. Plus, we'll have your reaction too. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented by your local Hyundai dealers. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Sports Station. WSCR Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score! Scoreboard update.
Score update studio brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants. Do that today. Commanders execute a Hail Mary. They defeat the Bears 18-15. Our guy DJ Moore waiting in the wings will tell us his view of it from on the field. Week 8 of the NFL wraps later tonight. Monday Night Football, Giants at the Steelers. 6:45 here on the Score. Bulls at the Grizzlies. We've got World Series game number 3 in New York. Dodgers, Yankees. Dodgers leading this series 2-0. And the Blackhawks are going to drop the puck out in Colorado against the Avalanche at 8 o'clock. This hour brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards. In this segment with our guy, DJ Moore, sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency? Call the Plumbing Pros. Available 24-7 at 1-833-PLUM-911.
Chicago, it's DJ Moore here. I'm glad to be here. Excited to be here.
DJ Moore. Chicago Bear wide receiver.
Shoot, they're getting a fun, exciting, energetic person that's just going to come to work every day and not look back.
Second and 12. Comes a blitz with Wagner. Pass is a floater. And it is a completion.
This is incredible. What a catch. What a throw.
DJ Moore chatting it up with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
We're going to bear down.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. He is a pro's pro. Always a delight to spend some time with DJ Moore, and he joins us now in the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. DJ, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing good.
How you feeling physically, man? You take some big shots. That worried me, that hit yesterday.
It was a rough one.
Yeah.
It's a little sore, back a little sore, but I'm doing good.
So, DJ, big picture, when you look at how tough that must have been to take, that loss and the Hail Mary that everyone has now seen dozens of times on highlights, how do you prevent one loss from becoming two? How do you prevent one game from defining your season?
Looking at the tape today and seeing what could have prevented that from even being a play that they can have at the end of the game.
What was it like sitting on the sidelines and watching that? There were 2 seconds left, and then that kid was running around back there. They said he covered 40 yards in his scramble. They said that it was a 13-second-long run scramble before he unleashed the ball. And then, obviously, the tip, and there's the touchdown, and the whole stadium blew up. What was going through your head as you watched that?
I would just, like, let him get down. Or somebody get a holding call or something. Right. I felt like they was holding, but the refs didn't call it. And, I mean, they missed some calls sometimes. So, and then when he threw it, I didn't see it until we tipped it, and then I saw somebody in the back. I was like, I hope it's one of our players, but it wasn't, and it was I think Noah Brown that caught the ball.
So, how would you describe the post game locker room in terms of just what was said? Was anything said? What do you say after a moment like that? And how in your career, how do you have anything else to compare it to?
In the locker room, everybody was just like, it was just like, what just happened? Like, it seemed so unreal, but it was real at the same time. And, like, we just got to play through 60 minutes and really hone in on the details of things.
We were talking about just the impact of it. The idea that, as rough as that game was, you guys came back and you score a touchdown with 30 seconds left, and then you get the 2-point conversion, and it looks like you've stolen the game. It looks like your quarterback has led you to a huge victory in his homecoming. There were, you know, that was the young quarterback bowl. And then all that storyline, all the goodness that you kind of needed to steal that game, it all evaporated in a second.
Yeah, it went fast. Like, we scored, we thought the game was over, and they did what they did. And, I mean, it was crazy to see and crazy to be a part of. But, like I said, I don't think it should have came down to them having that Hail Mary at the end.
DJ, there's a clip that made the rounds on social media and was shown on Sunday Night Football on NBC. Tyrique Stevenson was taunting the Commanders crowd, had his back to the line of scrimmage, and it was 4 seconds into the play before he even got over to where he would end up tipping the ball that ended up in Noah Brown's hands. As a captain on this football team, how do you address that, if you address it at all, and what did you think of what you saw?
I didn't see it happening during the play. I seen it just how everybody else seen it. Was on, I think, Twitter, and I had seen it. And a few of the captains was talking about how we need to really address that. And I seen that he put something out about how he was sorry, but we still got to address it as a leadership group and in front of the team.
What do you think that means? What happens to Tyrique, do you think?
Nah. I don't know. That's not up for us to do, but we can address it as captains. And, I mean, upstairs will have to do what they were going to do.
I guess when I think about that play and that moment, you know, it's a life lesson because the game isn't over and you don't need to be kind of taunting, or there's like a certain amount of karma that will come back and bite you. But I think that he didn't have a great game, but I want to be fair about it. I think it needs to be addressed, but I think he's also a pretty good player, and I don't know that you improve by benching him, but there are people that have called in that want him benched. I just don't know that that's the answer.
I mean, you can do that, and then I don't know. I mean, it's a lesson learned for sure. He won't do that again. But if you bench him, it's just like that one play is, I mean, it's a big play, but that one play don't define him as a player.
This segment with DJ Moore is sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. All right, let's talk about the offensive play calling, especially the handoff to Doug Kramer, the fumble on third and goal from the one. DJ, I just wonder from your vantage point, what was going through your mind when that play was called? There's a lot of reaction to the fact that play should never have been called. Help us understand what the thought process was from Shane Waldron.
After I had called the ball, and then I was in the tent for those plays, and I came out to the Commanders just with the ball running downfield. I didn't know what happened until people was telling me that we called that play to Doug.
Yeah, I mean, that was a crazy idea because at the time you were trailing in the game and you guys were struggling to score. You get to the 1 yard line. I mean, why not play it straight? Why do anything that is unusual? And then the fumble, it was almost like a worst case scenario type thing. And you know, when I saw the guy pick up the ball and run it, all I could think of was like, he had to be down. He had to be down. Because then I was worried that was a, like it was a touchdown the other way, and that would have really, really been a problem.
Yeah, that would have been a real big problem if they would have scored on that play. I don't know. I don't know how to say it, but I don't know the reasoning behind the play call. I mean, it's been up for a few weeks, but I didn't think we would actually, like, get it called in a game like this. But when I came out of the tent and just seen him running, I was just like, what the hell happened?
Is it fair to wonder where the team's confidence in Shane Waldron is as a play caller? Is that a fair question?
I mean, to the outside, yeah. I know. For us, we just got to go out there and do what's called and make sure we're on the details of things, and then we could try to make something shake.
There was a 4th-and-1 play where they threw the ball to you, and just watching the play, it looked like that maybe another play was on, but the corner was kind of off the line of scrimmage, and it looked as if Caleb changed the play and then throws you the ball, but the corner came up. He kind of fooled him maybe on that particular play, and then obviously no first down. Can you walk us through that play, what happened on it?
Yeah, I had the same thing regardless. I had the little bubble. He threw it. I mean, I made him miss, but he had the back of my helmet, so I really couldn't go forward, and I thought it was going to be a flag, but they didn't call it, so I was just like, wow, this is like amazing. This is the type of game we're going to have right now.
And there was another non-call. It seemed like it got your ire up a little bit when they had – maybe they are holding you. It was a pass, I think, to Keenan Allen, perhaps, and it seemed like there was a hold. They were grabbing your jersey, and you made your appeal to the officials, and they didn't want to hear anything of that. What happened on that play?
Some of the stuff just, I guess, goes unnoticed, but I don't know. I just try to play through the whistle, and if it get called, it get called. If it don't, then oh well. But them DBs know what they be holding, so that's on their conscience.
Why do I feel like it's not on their conscience? I mean, they probably feel like they got away with it. Yeah, I like that. You're a good man to expect them to. They should confess. They should just raise a hand. It was me. Hey, DJ, I'm just wondering, when David asked, how do you keep it from being too... two losses out of a game like that, because now you're on the road. Now you got to go to Arizona, and you know you're not favored in a game. When you look at this team on the road, I believe the record is 3-17 under Matt Eberflus. Now you weren't here for a year of that, and this is a completely different team since a year ago. But learning to win on the road, as you know, it takes a lot of little details that you got to follow. How do you explain the struggles on the road versus the way you play at home?
We just got to get going like we do at home. You know, I mean, our away games feel like home games. How do our fans travel, which is amazing. So we should be up and ready to go. But it feels like when we're on the road, it's like, all right, we got to get adjusted. We put our toes in the water, checking the temperature, and then we go. But instead of just diving in, we don't, and we get behind, and we got to play catch up.
For three quarters, Caleb Williams struggled. I felt like he got back home and seemed like, whatever the case, he wasn't at his best. In the fourth quarter, you saw glimpses of the special that Ryan Poles said you would see on occasion, and we sure did. How would you describe his day, and what was it about those maybe early quarters and early possessions that maybe was a reason why he was struggling?
I can't tell you. I mean, he was out there doing his job. Their defense was really on it in the first few quarters, and we needed to find an answer. But like I said, when we come out of halftime, I think that's when we was like, okay, we can just dive into this thing, and we just started moving the ball.
So you look at that game, and obviously you had four passes thrown to you. You had a couple of catches. You had a nice – that 27-yard catch was huge. You also ran the ball a couple of times, one time on like a little – like inside run.
Misdirection, yeah.
Yeah, that was a nice play. That was a nice play.
Yeah, we had that in for a few weeks too, haven't gotten it off the ground till yesterday. And it felt good to get it run.
Well, DJ, it felt good. It looked good. It's great. Yeah. But you're not a running back. I mean, that's the thing you look at from the outside. I know it's sort of a reaction and maybe an overreaction, but I love the fact that they're using you in the running game, but I'd like to see you targeted more than four times. What about that? How does that address?
Like I said, it starts from upstairs down to the play caller, and then we all just got to be on the same page and be open fast enough to get the ball.
You know, I guess as I think about what's going on in the first quarter and why you guys are kind of struggling to score early in games, it seems pretty apparent that I think you went into the game 3 of 16 on third downs in the in first quarters, and you had your first third down was a 3rd and 15. And then you were, I believe there was a delay of game, so you end up in 3rd and 20. That's not a very makeable down. And then your next one was 3rd and 10. So is there something going on? Like when we talk about the failure to get started early, are you in too bad a down and distance on third downs? I mean, only a couple in that game, but it still is very difficult to get on the scoreboard when you're facing, when you're not doing well on first and second down.
Yeah, when you're not doing well on first and second down, the third downs is more challenging. You're either behind the sticks some or behind the sticks a lot, and that's where you want to stay out of in the league, because it's going to be hard, because teams are going to just sit at the sticks and then expect your quarterback to make a perfect throw or a perfect play.
So, DJ, you've been in the league long enough to understand the mentality of fans and media after a loss like this. You've been in Chicago long enough to know how passionate people are in watching, and their reactions may become overreactions. So I ask you this. After a loss like yesterday, that you can look at decisions made by the coaching staff, things that were done and maybe not done, from your vantage point as a leader on this team, how much confidence does this team have in his coaching staff?
We still got a lot of confidence. You know, they put in good game plans, and we just got to go out there and execute them for 60 minutes. So I know nobody is going to come in with their head down today or this weekend. Everybody's going to be still in high hopes because we still above 500, and we're going out there to beat the next opponent, which is the Cardinals.
I'm curious. So that they call it DMV, the District of Columbia, Maryland, and Virginia. You obviously went to Maryland. Did you have a lot of people at the game? Did you have? I know there were a lot of Bear fans there, but I'm saying, did you have a lot of college chums that turned up for you?
No, I didn't have no college people turn up for me.
How close is that to your where you went to college?
And a couple hours, right?
It's like it's not even that far, is it? It's a pretty close
it's
drive.
Probably like 30 to 45 minutes, depending on traffic.
Oh, wow.
What was the flight home like? Was it as quiet as some might imagine? What did you guys? Is this going to be an easy loss to get past just because you're a professional and you're in the middle of a season? What's the mindset now?
The mindset on the plane was everybody was talking about it on the bus. And then when we got on the plane, I think everybody was on their iPads rewatching the game. And then that was it. But I had fell asleep as soon as we got on the plane. So I really don't know what everybody else did.
What time did you get home?
Midnight.
Wow. God bless you for getting up with us.
You know anything about the Cardinals yet early enough to look ahead and to know what to anticipate Sunday out in Arizona?
I haven't really looked at them, but I've seen how they've been playing. They've been playing hard. So just how this past defense was. They was out there flying around and playing hard. So I know that's one thing we're going to have to beat.
Do you follow or care about your fantasy football numbers? Does that impact you in any way? I'm sure that you've got friends that are playing you in fantasy football, people that are looking at it, and it's just one of those things people do during the football season.
I do not care about fantasy. The points, when people at me about them, I do not care about y'all fantasy. that has no bearing on what we're trying to do as a team or as a player. Like, I'm not like, oh, I'm thinking about JoJo and Cindy Lou and they points that they need to win their fantasy. I'm not. I'm trying to win for the organization.
Reality is tough enough. So when does the leadership council meet this week, and how spirited will that conversation be?
Probably today and probably on Wednesday. So I'm going to have to attack those two meetings when I get in.
Hey, DJ, thanks a ton. Great catching up with you. Hope you're feeling better. Hope this doesn't impede you in any way moving forward.
Thanks, DJ.
Thank you.
That is DJ Moore, Bears wide receiver.
Don't ask him about fantasy football.
I know why you're doing that. I only do it because I've got a couple of friends that are asking me what's wrong with his numbers. And I'm kind of like, I don't think it's his fault. I don't think they're giving him
the ball.
No, I'm
four targets.
He had 230 yards against that team a year ago.
Yeah.
And then he got two passes thrown to him and had two carries.
Yeah.
The
Bears have a play calling issue.
They have some issues.
Again.
Yes. I agree. Yeah. Okay. But at least the leadership council is on it. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Take me through the final play and just what you saw.
None really. No. Just throw the ball up, give my guys a shot. I didn't see anything.
Did you see the end of the play?
No, not really. I just heard people screaming in our sideline rushing the field. So that's how I knew.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is Jaden Daniels. He was the trigger man of the Hail Mary that should have been unanswered, but somehow we had a text earlier, Hail Mary full of disgrace. I mean, it's blasphemy. So
Hail Maryland.
Hail Maryland.
Yeah, it was in Landover, so I get that reference.
Terrible state.
Let's give credit to Jaden Daniels. This is a young man who did not practice all week until maybe limited action on Friday, walkthrough on Saturday. Yep. He's very slight. You can see his stature is not what you really ideally want in a quarterback. You like to have a little more meat on his bones, so to speak.
You can see his ribs.
You can see his ribs. Yeah, he had that silly rap. What was that rap doing on the sidelines between possessions? But he came out, and he was as good as advertised. Yeah. And right now he's having a better rookie season than Caleb Williams. And he showed you his running ability. He showed you his arm and his accuracy. He showed you everything that you had heard about, but you now were able to see up close and personal.
I thought if he was healthy, he could have run for twice as many yards.
Probably so.
I just didn't feel like they were using him as much in the running game for that reason.
He just escaped when he needed to. He got the first downs that he had to get. And I think that he was very elusive. And then the last play, he danced around for 13 seconds, and then he let it fly, and it was right to the right spot.
Come on, man. You got to defend that better. What are you doing with a spy? I mean, honestly.
The spy was a bad decision. The decision on the play previous to that to give up the down and out to stop the clock and to buy 12 more yards or 14 more yards, that was even worse. That was terrible.
But David, you know, Jervon Dexter also was in on that play. Didn't look like he was really rushing the passer. They had a couple of guys that looked like they were at least trying to get to him, but they had a spy. I'm talking about the front four they used. They had one linebacker that was kind of spying on him, not trying to rush
the passer. TJ Edwards was spying.
And Jervon Dexter didn't seem like he was breaking his tail. Because
he thought, that's not going to happen. Nothing's going to hurt.
Exactly.
I'm just going to go through the motions here.
Let him run around.
Let him provide the highlight of the season.
Oh, boy. Like I said, part of the problem is it's like a national punchline.
It is now. Everybody in every NFL city has seen that play at least a dozen times already.
312-644-6767. Let's try Jeff. Jeff's on the Odyssey app. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I'm probably going to make Dustin and Kevin from Palantine sick, but David Haw, you are totally correct. This was a coaching loss. And bad Bears play on Sunday brings bullet point Monday. So here we go. Eberflus doesn't overrule Waldron on the tackle run play, which he should have done. They're down. They're not up by 30. They're down. You got to score there. David, you brought up the biggest play of the game. The second to the last play, you make them throw the ball in the middle of the field, and you make them lateral, because that works way far less than a Hail Mary.
Well, you cover a guy and tackle him so he can't get out of bounds. There was no one within about 10 yards of him.
Absolutely, Molly, absolutely. And what we haven't mentioned yet today, to compound the mistake that he made the previous play, he doesn't call one of his three timeouts before the Hail Mary to make sure that everybody is on base with what they're going to do, because you are down two regular defensive players. Maybe one of those guys was the savior, and maybe whoever was replacing them forgot that.
That's an excellent point. That's an excellent point. Regroup, reset, remind everybody, and reinforce just how important it is to be where you need to be.
Yes.
Maybe get Tyrique Stevenson a chance to settle down so he's not showing off and taunting the crowd.
Especially if you don't have a lot of your front line guys available to you in that circumstance.
Who have never been in a situation before. Call a timeout. What does you no good now.
No.
But just call a timeout. The game was long. Make it a little longer so you can just remind people, do what coaches are supposed to do.
That's a good point. Aaron is in Markham. Hey, Aaron. That's a really good point.
How you doing?
All right.
Well, my biggest beef about this loss is Caleb Williams taking that sack at the end of the half, knocking us out of field goal range. Mm. That's just on top of all the missed throws that he had. I don't know if you can out-coach whatever was wrong with Caleb yesterday, his nerve. He just had a bad game. I'm not going to blame this on the coaches. I'm going to blame this on the players. Players jumping outside, penalties. Players getting 15-yard penalty. I'm not putting that on the coaches today. I'm going to put that on the players. They were not professional, and they didn't deserve to win.
What do you hold the coaches accountable for then? What are the coaches? If your team is undisciplined, who's that on? The players?
Sometimes kids are just bad, man. You can talk about everything before you leave out this house. That don't mean they're going to follow it once they get on the field. And I just saw bad. Bad players doing bad things. Pre-snap penalties. I mean, how many times are they going to go over it before they stop doing it?
Well, and I mean, here's the thing. Thanks for the call, Aaron. Obviously, you were concerned about the loudness of the stadium, being on the road, and being able to call plays, and being able to stay onside. And that bit you right away. They ended up with 8 penalties for 60 yards. And 15 of them were on Tyrique Stevenson and that was a bad dumb penalty.
He
on his
dumb.
Part.
He got lulled into a sense of he got lazy and he just reacted and he overreacted. That's discipline. That's coaching.
Well, that's coaching.
Why is that coaching? Okay, glad you asked. When you don't have accountability and you don't have a fear repercussion. Then you are going to act and do whatever you want to do and act. So when you don't have penalties for guys who, I don't know, have their back to the line of scrimmage for 4 seconds of the most important play of the game, then you can expect more things to happen that are related to an undisciplined team. Yes, it's on the players, but players are there to be coached. The coaches have to do their jobs, and they didn't do it very well yesterday.
And when we talked to Olin Krutz earlier this morning, I thought he made a great point, which is, how often does that happen with Tyrique Stevenson? Is he usually paying attention in practice? Is he usually totally focused in on what his role was? Or is he one of these guys that's kind of goofing off a little bit? Or does he have to be disciplined in practices? I don't know the answer to that, but I think that if they know the answer to that, that would answer your question.
So somebody asks a question on the text line, or maybe it was one of the callers, well, who would replace him? Wrong question.
Smith replaced him in game.
If you don't discipline him, it's going to be, how will he hurt you next?
Yeah, at the very least, you could not start him and then bring him in.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just
saying. You got to do something.
But you definitely need to respond to a guy with his back turned to the play.
You need to do something that is more than just meeting with the leadership council.
DJ said they know that they have to address that, and they're planning on doing it. So that's a good thing hear. It's just somebody sitting up and taking notice. Let's try Bernie. He's in the western suburbs. Hey, Bernie.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Bernie.
Hey. The Bears have scored a total of 10 points in the first 7 games in the first quarter.
Yeah.
They get 2 weeks to prepare for an average defense.
Yeah.
And have 4 points and a turnover on downs. We can't move the ball 10 yards in 3 plays. Who takes the responsibility for that? Eberflus or Kuhl?
Both.
Yeah.
Shane Waldron, Matt Eberflus, Thomas Brown, whatever assistant you want to include. It's coaching. It's preparation. It's execution.
They are now 3 of 18 on third downs in the first quarter of games.
Yeah.
Okay? You're not going to be able to score many points if you're 3 of 18.
You got to change something.
And you know what you got to change?
What?
Is 3rd and 20,
okay.
3rd and 10.
How do you avoid that?
Well, try not to jump off sides. Try not to get the quarterback sacked. Try to
those are missed assignments. Those are mental lapses.
You're going to lose on 3rd down when you don't win on 1st and 2nd down.
No doubt about that. I can do the math. But how do you avoid those problems on 1st and 2nd down? Don't you have to coach a little differently? Don't you have to take a little different approach?
How did you come out of a bye week and not have anything different happen?
You looked very sloppy. You looked very clunky. You looked out of sync.
You looked very unprepared.
You did look unprepared. So next time you come out, you got to do something different because what you're doing the same isn't working. I'd come out in no huddle. I would increase the tempo from the get-go. I would get Caleb Williams in rhythm. He seems to like that. He seems to thrive when there's more responsibility. Doesn't he seem like a guy who loves to point out who to block and go from laterally from one side to the other, telling what receivers to do? Let him have more responsibility. I know he's a rookie, but he's not playing like one.
Zach is in Love's Park. Hey, Zach.
What's going on, guys? Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Zach.
So first things first, I said it last time I called you guys. I'm going to say it again. The only one that can save this offense is Coach Klein from the freaking water boy. Secondly, 3rd and 1, and you're going to use, what was it, Doug Kramer, I think it was. Why weren't they using Cole Kmet again? Once again, he had one target the whole game.
He also scored a 2-point conversion.
Yeah, so.
So when you got him the ball, good things happen.
But no, you got Shane Waldron, who probably needed a freaking breathalyzer test yesterday because of the plays that he was calling. Like, this is just ridiculous. It's every week. It's always something with their offensive line. And he just said it. Caleb Williams plays better when it's no huddle. He likes it. He's better that way. That's the way it's got to be.
Thanks, Zach. Appreciate the phone call. I think that when you look at the Doug Kramer situation.
Yeah.
I said earlier in sort of we get carried away here a little bit. And I'm not taking it back. I do think you need to unlock the mini fridge. Okay.
That's not what you said. Not what? Unlock. You wanted to unplug it.
I'm sorry. Unplug
not
it.
Not to defrost it.
I said, it's time to unplug the mini fridge. Okay. Yeah. I don't know what time that was, but it was early. But I still unplugged the mini fridge for a while. But I do say this. It worked before, and I think it could work at times when you have a lead, when you are building on a lead, when you are trying to create and continue some momentum. I don't think that 3rd and goal from the 1 in the 4th quarter of a game on the road that you really have to win is the time to hand the football to your backup offensive guard.
No question about that.
So I don't know if
unplugging
the mini fridge
is... He's a backup offensive center who had to play guard because they had so many injuries.
Right.
But the point is, if they used him in the role in which they designed for him, which is to be a lead blocker for... Mm-hmm. Say Roschon Johnson, who did score later in the game.
I can get behind that.
That's
again.
Okay. You can do
yeah.
that.
But you need to be smart about it.
Handing him the ball.
No.
Oh, my God. Especially when you're trailing. That's madness.
That's
it
madness.
It doesn't matter if you – we had that in for a couple weeks.
So
– help.
Shane Waldron called it. Matt Eberflus did not veto it. And the huddle –
It's 1 yard.
It's one – that's
that
what he said. It's a one-yard play.
What a –
That may be the lamest response that Flusie's ever provided.
And
that may be the lamest answer to any question. That's covering a lot of ground. It's been 3 long years.
It's a 1 yard play.
It's not a 1 yard play. It's more than that, Flusie. It's more than a 1 yard play. It's the difference between winning and losing. And it's maybe the difference between you keeping your job and losing your job.
They came back and they scored anyway, and they took the lead, and it didn't matter because they couldn't run a bloody
more than a 1 yard play
defense on a Hail Mary, which is a play named after a prayer.
It's a microcosm of everything that this Bears season could become.
312-644-6767. Shaking our heads on Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 score.
I couldn't believe it. It was disbelief because I've been part of some Hail Marys. And, you know, I mean, what's the percentage on those? It's not high. And it was like the perfect tip and then just one guy standing there. It was unbelievable. No, I don't know the reaction. It was crazy. I saw it on the screen. And then I didn't know who caught it. So 3 minutes later, awesome. Awesome experience. No, just got a needed a Charlie horse. Or got a Charlie horse, so I was wandering somewhere while the ball was in the air and looked up, and I was like, all right, let's see what happens. Just how you draw it up. My last play, Hail Mary, good luck. I mean, that's about it. Just throw the ball. So that was it.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's our friend Nick Allegretti.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a Charlie horse from blocking so
yes,
long.
Yes, he did.
That's very funny.
Had a good game. He's in a good mood. And I bet you he would have scored on third and one.
Oh. Hey, fans, tonight the Bulls take on the Memphis Grizzlies at 7 p.m. on Chicago Sports Network. And the Blackhawks take on the Colorado Avalanche at 8 p.m. on CHSN Plus. You can catch all the action on the Chicago Sports Network now on Fubo.
Exciting night. Hawks, Bulls, a lot going on. A lot of angst in the city today after the Bears gave it away. I still, watching that Tyreek Stevenson thing,
I know. It's triggering.
It's just triggering because, like, the audacity of a player to be taunting the crowd after the ball is snapped. I can't think of anything similar that I've seen in sports like that.
He was crushed by the karmic wheel.
He definitely was.
He did definitely sort of put things at risk, and he was run down.
He was definitely run down.
Yep.
And the Bears got what they deserved.
Dare I read his apology yet again?
No.
We've already
hashtag
read that.
Go away.
Hashtag bear down.
Okay, Chicago, bear down.
Thanks, Shota. Oh, Shota makes me smile.
Yeah.
You need Shota on a morning like this to make you smile because we are coming in hot, and I think this requires, I don't know, it's some time to maybe process.
I mean like a week or a month, David. We can't do it overnight.
It just sounded like DJ Moore was pretty calm. I don't know what's going to happen when they all get together and reconvene the leadership council, but come on. This can't be tolerated. You've got a player that is out of control with Tyreek Stevenson. You've got a play caller that now has made two head-scratching, terrible decisions in games that you lost that you could point to those decisions as being part of the reason why.
Listen.
This is the biggest loss, the hardest one to take since a double doink.
And that's fair. And I should let you know that Tyreek Stevenson will be on the Today Show this morning. That's not true.
He's going full Courtney Parker.
Matt Nagy will be.
You know what? That'd be okay because the next move would be to cut him.
Oh, my God. And we have a texter who says Stevenson should be released today.
I'm not saying cut him.
If Foose want to hold any credibility in that locker room, he's replaceable. Keeping him will cause more damage than releasing him. That's nonsense.
It is nonsense.
Nonsense.
It is nonsense. It's an overreaction.
He's one of the guys that came in that trade.
You can be tough with your players. You can hold them accountable, and you don't have to get rid of them.
No.
You want to teach them a lesson. You want to actually make a statement to your locker room and teach a player a lesson. But you can't do nothing. You can't let this go unchecked.
Run stairs.
No.
No, I'm just joking. No, Did you see Dan Quinn was running the stairs before the game?
Was he?
Yeah, he was running up and down the stands and
How about the job he's done?
Northwestern Field.
Yeah, Northwestern Field in Landover, Maryland.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hail Maryland.
Yeah. That's Landover. Help.
But Dan Quinn has done a terrific job. He's going to be a midseason choice by many people, probably as a coach of the year for the job that he's done in Washington. totally transformed that culture there. You talk about a culture change immediately. He took the job and it had a tremendous impact immediately.
Are you saying Dan Quinn, greater than sign Matt Eberflus? Did they hire the wrong guy? Is that what you're telling me?
It's a fair question this morning. I think after yesterday, you look at the three things we focused on all week in the hype leading up to this game, the head coach, the play caller, and the quarterback. And the Washington Commanders had the better head coach on Sunday, they had the better play caller on Sunday, and they had a better quarterback. Now, I believe strongly that Caleb Williams is the right guy for the Chicago Bears, and he's going to be a star.
I hope so.
I have less confidence that Shane Waldron and Matt Eberflus are going to bring the Bears to glory. I think Caleb Williams will, but I don't know who his coaches will be when that happens.
312-644-6767. Let's try our friend Don. He's on the west side. Hey, Don. Always fun.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. So here's my attempt at getting blood from a turnip. So you cut Kari Blessingame, and you turn Kramer into the fullback. Okay. You wait until, I guess, maybe the third drive or the second quarter before the half to go to I form, and you're running out of shotgun. Like, you start off with the bubble screen. Now, of course, we already know that Shane Waldron has a play calling problem, but these are the plays that I form play. That play should go first or second play to begin the game, not a bubble screen. You get DJ Moore killed every time you run that bubble screen.
Yes, you do.
Matt Eberflus, okay, in these big games, you have a poor record, okay? I don't even believe you can take me to the postseason big game. You can't even win an in-season big game, okay? The giving up the yardage to get, okay, well, we're just going to let you get in position to launch this ball. No.
Hold on a second, Don. We gotta put you on hold for a second. We got to take a quick timeout. I'm sorry. My fault. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.